it's always such a privilege, isn't it, to be at a baptismal service? Because, to be honest, it is ridiculous, isn't it? For someone fully clothed, looking beautiful, to be dipped in water, come out like a drowned rat, and yet, she looked lovely, I'm not being rude about her at all, but we all did it, didn't we? And yet, the knowledge that walking in God is sometimes ridiculous is one we always need to remember, isn't it? Because there's lots of things the Lord requires of us that isn't always easy, but it's part of the wonder of just walking with him. I think he was an embarrassment if we'd walked with him, don't you? We'd have been highly embarrassed. I always think when he spat on the ground and made mud and put it on somebody's eyes, you wouldn't even spit, would you? Let alone make mud. But anyway, I must get on. Now, I was told I might have half an hour, I might have 20 minutes, I might have 10 minutes. So I'm not going to bore you, I hope, with a long, long tirade now. But I do need to tell you that I'm not actually in my comfort zone this morning, because I love bringing something that sends everybody out sort of skipping and dancing and has reminded everyone how much we need to just love the Lord and love each other. That is my style that I enjoy. And this morning isn't like this, that, but it's very much the word the Lord has given me, and I'm very, very sure about that. When Tim asked me, I thought, oh, there's so much one could talk about, and you know, I like the opportunity to sort of pour things out a bit. But there immediately a phrase dropped into my mind that I haven't thought of for years, probably. But I remember when I first read it, it impacted me then. And it was just this, it's very simple and you'll remember it. The soil determines how the seed grows. The soil determines how the seed grows. Now, if I asked you, gave you all bits of paper, and said, write down which parable that comes from, most of you would write down the sower, because it sounds as if it fits. But actually, it's from one of the, probably the smallest parables in the Bible. It's just two verses, really. And it says this. Here is another story illustrating what the kingdom of God is like. A farmer sowed his field and went away. And as the days went by, the seeds grew and grew without his help, for the soil made the seeds grow. First a blade, a leaf blade, pushed through. Later the heads of wheat formed. Finally the grain ripened. And then the farmer came at once with his sickle and harvested it. Do you know, that sounds just like my garden. Derek Hopkin, bless him, He even goes and buys the stuff to sow now, and he sows it, and I wait, and suddenly there's a beautiful garden. And then Kevin turns up to clip my roses off, and suddenly there's beautiful roses. And I love it, because all I do is I don't go away, but I snuggle down and forget there's work to do in the garden, because I don't need to do it. And you know, the knowledge that the soil makes the seed grow is absolute truth, because the soil, fed by rain, and sometimes by watering, and sunshine, makes the seed grow. And all the seed does is nestle down and make sure it's in the place where it is going to grow, because the soil is good. You see, it's easy. I mean, Kevin comes and pours tomato feed or something on my roses, because it's best for roses, by the way. But it's easy, really, because the soil hasn't got a mind of its own. It is absolutely dependent on what is done to it. And we've heard two wonderful testimonies. Thank you both so much. And we've heard of seed that was planted actually years ago. And today they've testified to their desire for that seed to go on growing. And that fits perfectly with what I want to say, because I really want you to think about when the seed was planted in you. When did you commit your life to Jesus Christ and ask him to be your saviour? Was it 5 years, 15 years, 30 years, 50 years, 60 years ago? Overall, it's that sort of span. And there are some of you here possibly that have never done that. And I just want to tell you, you don't know what you're missing. because once the seed's planted, anything can happen. All the unexpected things happen that are marks of God's hand upon your life. But it can only happen when the seed's planted. And actually, although you receive the seed by asking Jesus to be your saviour, the planting of the seed was his business, not yours. You didn't actually plant the seed, he did. And he planted in us, each one that are born again Christians, eternal life. Not just for heaven to look forward to one day. I might get there a bit ahead of many of you. But not just for heaven one day, but every day working out and living out and walking out the eternal life that God has invested in us. Nothing we do about it, he's done it. It's sealed and settled. And I love the fact that it means that our sin is forgiven. So although something I'm going to say in a moment will sound a bit condemning, I want you to remember there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. No condemnation, because Jesus paid the price totally on Calvary. And he planted the seed in you. And nobody can take it away. He says, nobody will pluck you out of my hand. Tom used to say, you're double wrapped, because you're in Christ and Christ is in God. And that's true. So you're very secure in your salvation. But the soil determines how the seed grows. And you are responsible for the soil that that seed is invested in. In your heart, in my heart, there is choice. Choice that the garden soil doesn't have, but choice that we have as to what sort of soil we're cultivating for that seed to grow. Now, you're not going to like this, because I didn't like it either, but another scripture popped in, and it's a scripture I don't like at all, and it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I always think that's quite a horrific verse, really. I wouldn't want it on the front of the notices regularly. It would put people off the first time here, wouldn't it? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How can we work out what God has invested, what God has done for all time? How can we in any way contribute to that? We can, because our lives are the soil in which that has been planted. And that seed has been planted in soil that is our responsibility. And Paul, you know, I love Paul. He's amazing, isn't he? And a wonderful father. Well, I don't mean our Paul, I'm sure he is too, but I mean Saint Paul. Well, he's saint anyway, isn't he? But anyway, we'll cut that out. We won't get into that now. But you see, I love Paul's love and humanity and compassion and care and firmness and structure on truth all the time. He doesn't mince his words. But what he said is always designed to do those who he cared about, to do them good. Even if it was hard, it was to do them good, always. And I hope that's our desire with each other, to do each other good, always, even when it's hard or difficult, to do each other good. But you see, Paul said those words in Philippians 2. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And trying to be clever, I looked it up. And work out in the Greek means to complete, finish, bring to fulfillment. To complete, finish, bring to fulfillment. Work out your own salvation. Be working out the completing of what God has done. He's done it. It's sealed. You have a place in heaven. You have an inheritance in Christ, and so have I. But the workout is our responsibility. We can either wait for it and come to church, and somebody said that, come to church and go home and think, one day I'll be in heaven. Or we can savour to the full our salvation right now. Use every day in all its fullness to explore and discover and turn over in our mouths the wonder of God and realise how rich we are in him to the full. That will actually put a lift in your step and send you skipping down the road if you think about it. But it is so important that we realise we have got responsibility in it, because we have choice. And our choice is either to take the things that God gives us and use them to feed our spirit and to make the soil for that seed of salvation, or to actually leave that seed sitting there. And it will sit there. For some of you, I don't want to presume to be looking at anybody at all, but some of you, it may be that you had that seed 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 5 years ago, and it still sits there as a seed because you're not working it out. With fear and trembling, oh dear, strong words. But fear is not the fear as we know it. It's the fear of the realization of the hugeness of God, of the awesomeness of God. He's so big and we're so little. And suddenly we realize that working out our salvation is in the light of the greatness of our God. And trembling at his holiness, at the fact that he is a holy, holy God. And the fear and the trembling is part of our realization that we don't want to offend him or hurt him. And we are weak. We tremble with weakness. And we have to be dependent on him. So we have to go on to complete what God has done by the outworking in our lives. Not complete it for eternity, for heaven, but complete it for the fulfillment of his purposes now. And that is our responsibility. I'm not going to say much more, but I must just say this little bit. In Philippians, where Paul says these words, I can never find it when you look for it, can you? I'll put the thing in it. He says this, and I love the way he puts it. It's the same verse about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but listen to it like this. Dearest friends, that's a nice start, isn't it? When I was there with you, you were always so careful to follow my instructions. And now that I'm away, you must be even more careful to do the good things that result from being saved. Obeying God with deep reverence. Think about it. Obeying him with deep reverence. Shrinking back from all that might displease him. That's fairly clear. That's quite black and white. Because, listen to this, God is at work within you, helping you want to obey him, and then helping you do what he wants, what pleases him. And that's it. If we have that seed of salvation, God is at work within us, helping us want to obey him, and then helping us to do the things that please him. So the whole package is put back into his hands. And his answer was to send the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the breath in our lungs. He is the hand in our glove, our bodies. He is what motivates us and moves us. He is the pen that writes and expresses us. He is the countenance that shines for him. He's the warmth that comes through us to touch other lives. And Paul goes on to say, and I'm not going to talk about this now, but let me just read it to you. In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark, dark world, full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them, lighthouse people. Doesn't say that. Shine out among them like beacon lights, holding out to them the word of life. Do you see? The outworking is that we can be what we need to be out there. Be lights in the darkness. But it comes from the soil making the seed grow. We've got our salvation, but it won't have effect out there until, by the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be what God always planned for us to be. I noticed Tim used the word baptism in the Spirit. I hear so many people talk about filling of the Spirit. Baptism of the Spirit is the biblical word for it. And why? Because it involves surrender. These two couldn't be baptized under that water unless they trusted the people that were holding them to dip them in and bring them up thoroughly wet. And they've dried off. But when you're baptized in the Spirit, you surrender totally to the hands of Jesus the baptizer. You're immersed in the Spirit. You come up, and you shouldn't be drying off. And if you're like me, you do drive sometimes. And if you're like me, you go through really, really dark places where you think, I don't know where God is anymore. What's he doing? He may not have all the answers, but why won't he tell us a little bit so that we know how to handle it? And sometimes he leaves us just trusting him. And we have to walk in obedience and trust, because that's the soil that determines how the seed grows. And to him be all the glory. Now I'm going to ask you to sit for a minute. I'm going to read you this. I turned over my calendar in the bathroom this morning. This was it. It's only a scripture. And I want it to be a prayer that we're going to say together in a minute. Can you turn it off for a minute, Alex, please? May the God of peace equip you with every good thing for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. May the God of peace equip you with every good thing for doing his will. And may he work in you and me what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. Would you like to stand and say it with me? And think of each other as you say it, because it's a prayer being expressed. May the God of peace equip you with every good thing for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. Now we're going to sing. I told Tim that I hadn't got anything to close with. And then in my last, after many visits to the bathroom, I found myself singing something that is an old, old, old hymn. Some of you will love it because you know it well. Some of you don't know it. But I want you to read the words, because it was a perfect hymn to finish what I've just said. Lord Jesus, take the glory, please, for this. We just bless you, Lord, that you knew how much time there'd be. We've been so blessed by those testimonies, so blessed by our togetherness, so blessed by being in your presence. Now, Lord, please, may this become just an urge from you for us to truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Glory, 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 glory
people said, Amen. God bless you. Tea and coffee.